God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the witness of our lives be acceptable to you, and speak a word of hope in the face of fear and hatred. Amen. This weekend, I went to a couple of parties. One was a birthday party for a 7-year-old at Upton Hill Water Park. We ate pizza and cake and splashed in the water. It was fun. The other party I went to was the annual Synod Assembly of the Metropolitan Washington, D.C. Synod. I was there with Pastor Kate and 3 members of the congregation, Mike Rothy, Annette Hawker, and Annie Heffler. I hope that you are able to hear from them and hear their impressions and thoughts regarding the Synod Assembly soon. But in the meantime, I wanted to share with you some of what I heard. We heard reports at the assembly from committees, and we elected a synod vice president and treasurer. We worshiped and prayed, and we reflected together on events and powers that are shaping the world around us, and how we as the church are called to respond. It was fun, but in a different way than the birthday party. Just to make sure we're all on the same page, let me explain briefly that a synod is a geographic region of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the denomination of which this congregation is a part. And our synod is the Metropolitan Washington, D.C. Synod. The Synod Assembly is like the annual meeting for the Metropolitan D.C. Synod, for that whole body of Lutheran Church Christians in the Metro D.C. area. Now, I have to admit that there are always some moments during Synod Assembly when I'm not bored exactly, but at least impatient with some of the mundane business that has to happen. It is, in one way, sort of the business meeting of us as a church gathering. But I also always leave the Synod Assembly feeling encouraged and inspired. The word synod comes from a couple of Greek words that mean walking together. And I feel encouraged after each synod assembly because I'm always reminded that we are not alone in meeting the challenge of being the body of Christ in our world today. We are walking together with that whole body of people who gather in Lutheran congregations around the D.C. metropolitan region. And this year, we actually were privileged to host the presiding bishop of the ELCA, Bishop Elizabeth Eaton, who also told us about the good work that we are part of doing as part of the broader church in the whole country and in the world. So it was an even greater reminder that we are walking together with others. Our synod, the Metro DC Synod, is a fascinating gathering of people and communities. It includes congregations in Maryland and Virginia and D.C. There are congregations in wealthy suburbs, gentrified city neighborhoods, and struggling neighborhoods, and struggling small towns. There are congregations that are this year celebrating 125 and 150 years of ministry. And there's even the oldest congregation in this synod that is 250 years old. There are congregations that are less than 25 years old, and ministries that are still just a twinkle in somebody's eye. And in any given week, there are people gathering to worship in many languages. I wonder if some of you might have a guess of the languages that people are worshiping in Lutheran congregations in this synod. Anyone want to guess?
Spanish.
Spanish, yes, we have some Spanish congregations. What else? German, surprisingly no German, but Swedish and Finnish and Norwegian. You might have guessed those if I hadn't told you. Any other guesses? Danish, we have the Danish congregation that worships here. They do their Christmas service here, yes. We also have people who are worshiping in Amharic and Oromo, 2 Ethiopian languages, and Nuer, which is a Sudanese language. We have congregations that worship in Korean and French, American Sign Language, Slovak and Thai. And in one of the newer ministries in the synod, they worship in Swahili. So it is fun and encouraged to be reminded of all of our neighbors in the synod of which we are a part each year at Synod Assembly. But it's also serious, because we know that we are gathered as people and communities that have been called by Jesus. We have been called by Jesus as he summons the disciples in today's gospel story to take up his ministry of healing the sick, facing the demons of our time, and proclaiming the good news that the kingdom of God has come near. In the past three synod assemblies, themes about human differences and division and the promise of our unity in Christ have been prominent. And that is because the 2015 Synod Assembly came just a few days after the shooting at Mother Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, on June 17, 2015. Two of the pastors who died that day had attended ELCA seminaries, and the shooter's family were members of an ELCA Lutheran congregation. The event itself was shocking and horrifying, but those Lutheran connections made it feel all the more near for many people. So when we gathered at the Synod Assembly just a few days later, people came with all of the grief and anger they were feeling in response, and a feeling that we as a church were called to respond, to face the demons of racism in our country and in ourselves. One of the speakers at this year's assembly was Dr. Reggie Williams. He's the Associate Professor of Christian Ethics at McCormick Theological Seminary in Chicago, and he's recently written a book about Dietrich Bonhoeffer's experience worshiping with and learning from a black congregation in Harlem. Dr. Williams talked about how your image and understanding of Jesus shapes your understanding of yourself as a disciple, as a person following in the way of Jesus. When Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a German pastor and theologian, when he came to the U.S. to study at Union Theological Seminary in New York in the 1930s, he became friends with an African-American student there. And his friend invited him to worship with him at his church, Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem. Bonhoeffer went with him once, and then he went again and again. And as he worshiped there, Bonhoeffer began to see Jesus through the eyes and experiences of the black Christians singing and praying beside him. And his understanding of his call as a disciple of Jesus in his time was profoundly changed. When he returned to Germany, he began to speak about racism as a Christian problem and racial pride as a sin against the Holy Spirit of God who created all people. He saw more clearly that the dehumanizing ideology of the Nazi program was not something Christians or the Christian church in Germany could ignore if they wished to be faithful. In our gospel story this morning, Jesus sees people around him searching for God and seeking healing, and he is filled with compassion and urgency. So he summons the disciples, he calls them to follow him, but then he almost immediately sends them out because he needs them to be working with him. He charges them and he gives them authority to join him in doing God's work in the world. There is in the story a sense of urgency and also danger and risk. Jesus knows they will not always be welcome. He knows the work will be hard. And he is honest in his instructions to the disciples, as we heard in the gospel reading. But Jesus sends them out with a bold word of hope to share in the face of fear and hatred. As Paul would later write in his letter to the Romans, we have received the love of God poured out upon us through the Holy Spirit, and that is our gift to share. At the Synod Assembly this weekend, we felt that sense of urgency and the risk of going out as Jesus sends us out to face the demons of our time, to share the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near. We are the ones Jesus is calling in this time and this place. We felt that sense of urgency and the risk. But we also were reminded that we do not walk alone. We walk together with other Christians and people of faith in our synod and in our whole church in the U.S. and around the world. And we remember also the promise of Jesus at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, "I am with you always." We do not walk alone. May God give us courage to go as Jesus sends us, to bring healing, to confront the demons of our time, and to speak hope in the face of hatred. In the name of Jesus, amen.